Well, we're glad you're back with us at GoldSeek.com Radio for another Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, David Gerwitz. Well, David Gerwitz is my special guest today, Managing Director at Charles Nenner Research. How are you, sir?
Great. How you doing? How's the weather down there?
Gorgeous weather after days of rain. I hope it's not too bad in that neck of the woods there.
It's pretty bad. It's in New York. We got a snowstorm.
Let's start off, if we could, with the precious metal sector. You know, it's been a tough year after 12 wonderful years. And, of course, that's brought the bears out of their caves. So why don't you give people an overview of what you see developing?
Well, first thing, we 2 years ago called the top in 1900. So that we kind of feel good about after it was, I think, a 10-year run-up or maybe 12. I think it was 10 years.
Yeah, it really depends on what you call the beginning of the bull market.
Right. So that was a great call. And a lot of people didn't want to get out because after 10 years up, they figured it's just a correction. You get used to it. And we said, no, it's not going to be a 2% down. I think we should get out and wait to the bottom, which is kind of how we try and do things for all the categories, ideally stocks, bonds, commodities, currencies. Try and get out of tops and get into bottoms. Like, you know, Bernard Baruch said, but he doesn't like to sell at the top or buy at the bottom. We like to be close. Anyway, we got out of gold, and we said there'd be a few bounces, which there were. And today we actually went long. Funny, of today we said we'll give gold a try to buy it on a close above 1293 and silver on a close above 2160. It's a short-term move. We still think there's one more down move, and it could take it under 1200 gold and down in the 16s for silver. But we think we will go back up to the highs. It's going to take a while till it really starts. It's a short-term trade now.
We've seen the U.S. dollar struggling despite the sharp sell-off and meandering in gold and silver. And one would think, at least from a fundamental and technical basis, that that's an indication of overdone in the selling category on precious metals. You would have expected to see the greenback soar as gold and silver were suffering, and we just haven't seen that. We've seen a three-year consolidation. I just would have expected to see the dollar climb sharply. Of course, there's many other factors there, and we have euro factors, and the currency markets are a bit more complex. But in general, we had seen that, you know, inverse relationship hold true between precious metals and the dollar. Any comments on the greenback?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all your listeners should write to the site, charlesnenner.com, and mention that we listen to us talking, and they get a free month of the subscription of the research, which covers stocks, bonds, commodities, and currencies three times a week, and charts we send out on Sunday. But let me discuss the currencies we cover, because you're asking a dollar question. We cover the dollar a week in the form of its relationship to other currencies, the euro, the Aussie, the Canadian, and the yen. We even cover the euro-yen, and we cover the shekel. So those are six currencies covered. Most Americans don't focus on trading currencies, which they should. It's still the biggest market in the world. And that's how, when the market starts Sunday night at 6 o'clock, pretty much things will turn from currency to bond to stock all electronically in an hour. So anyway, the euro is strong. And we predicted that it would be, and we still think it's going to be. That's why the euro-yen, we think the yen is down, the euro's up, therefore the euro-yen cross is going to be a very strong move. The dollar, we think, is, even though it's been weaker, it's going to rally, and then it's going to hit its top in the first or second quarter and then be down for quite a while, which is, again, your very thoughtful comments about the gold-dollar connection before. They don't always hold true just because we think A always implies B. It doesn't work like that. We think cycles are what always works. And therefore, the gold cycle doesn't tie in with the dollar cycle always, but at times it will look like it does, and so you can't really extrapolate from that. But we think the dollar, the euro will be stronger. The Aussie longer term will be stronger. We called the Aussie and the Canadian to par 4 years ago when they were 68 to the dollar. So people need to take a longer-term perspective on the currencies, and they can play them with ETFs. They're fairly easy to do. But that's what we think is going to happen with the dollar, and that's the gold-silver connection. Silver is going to move faster than gold now, in our opinion.
It also corrected much more heavily on the downside after moving threefold from 2010 into 2011. So you would expect a sharper recovery rally there. I also wanted to ask you about your economic views, particularly with regard to that upbeat unemployment U3 number we saw last week from the Labor Department. The unemployment rate apparently dropping to 7%. Some controversy around this number coming from folks in the gold crowd arguing that essentially this number is a bit bogus, that we're actually seeing a huge number of dislocated workers, and that really just distorts the figure and makes it look more robust than it actually is. And of course, that would more than likely keep the Fed from curtailing and tapering their QE purchases in the future if this is a bogus number. I'd like your thoughts.
Great question. We agree with you, or what you just said, that the unemployment numbers don't really tell the story. We did predict a stronger first quarter economy a few months ago, so it happened. We think things are topping overall in the stock market into the first quarter. So we think the bond market will be stronger at the first half of next year, but longer term, the bonds are going to be, look, rates have come down for 30 years, which Charles, when he was at Goldman Sachs for 15 years, predicted. I joined working with him about 10 years ago, and the rates were 18% 30 years ago. 60 years ago, they were what they are now. That's called a cycle, a 60-year cycle. It goes the other way starting in a few quarters, that bond prices will go down, we think, because bond rates will go up for the next 2.5 decades. So when you have bonds going down, and we think longer-term stocks are going down, it's going to be very dislocating. That looks like the gold will go up then, the silver will go up then. Grains, which we haven't really talked about, we're getting close to a shorter-term low, but later on in the year, a better low in grains and grain stocks, which is something people should think about. We haven't talked about crude or natural gas. We can get that in a second. But basically, the whole idea of the economy and tying in, I mean, we're hitting lots of stories of, while the market's up for 5 years, basically, people's jobs and their smaller businesses are not doing well. And we have thousands of clients. We always ask them, how's your business? The market's up. Not good, not good, not good. So that's anecdotal. And we think same thing with the unemployment as well. It may look low, but there's a lot of people not being counted in as far as the way we look at it.
No, exactly. I mean, we're really seeing a dichotomy in the economy where you have, whereas the backbone of the country, the smaller business owner, suffering. And of course, that just is unsustainable. Also wanted to address the interesting global demand component to the gold story. You know, total Chinese gold demand continues to soar. They're going to be apparently the number one gold importer as well as producer.
Great question again. We look at math, and we believe, even though it's called technical, what the math represents is in fact deeply fundamental. What's fundamental is that the world moves in cycles, coming from the Greek word circle. This kind of works for everything, and then I'll address the gold thing in particular. So we think the cycles show human interpretation of events. We can't predict what the event is. When we called the top an apple, we didn't know what it was. We called it at 702. We didn't know the top in gold what it was. You know, you never know. We just see the cycles topping at something, and then the news people will come along and explain why it is or isn't. So when you look at China starting to buy and their economy starting to maybe pick up, we predicted that a year ago, that China wouldn't be so strong, and then approximately now it would be. And again, you can take advantage of it with ETFs. But China gold buying, we don't really follow in our gold prices. You know, we just look at gold, silver, copper, which we actually said to get out of a year and a half ago because one of the Far East sovereign wealth funds, we have those type of clients also, $80 billion, $90 billion. Again, we don't manage money and we don't broker. We just tell what's going to happen as best we can see. You know, gold's been down for 2 years. All of a sudden, China's becoming a buyer and it looks like gold's bottoming temporarily. So we think the cycles are the predictor of the activity, not the other way around.
I like the concept of looking at the numbers behind the cycles and the market trends because ultimately those prices are dictated by the fundamentals. It's really difficult, I think, in this environment. Markets have changed a lot. I'm sure you agree in the last 5-10 years since algorithmic trading. I don't believe you can really be merely a fundamental or a technical investor and have much success. It really requires a melange of the two. You talked earlier about the idea that we maybe haven't quite bottomed. What signs are you going to be looking for if this rally fizzles?
But number one, that's, again, great question, and I'd like your readers to write in so they could start seeing how we follow it. We see another bottom coming, which means this is an up move, but it's a temporary up move. So what signs we look for are simply cycle tops. And also we give a target level once it starts to move. We can't give one till it starts to move because our target algorithm, as opposed to the cycles, which only give us direction, the target algorithm is based on quantum physics and some very, very complicated acceleration calculations. So we need to have it start to move first, so I can't give an upside target yet. However, once we start going there and the cycle tops, let's say, in 2 months, we could say, okay, our target of, let's go 1420, I'll just pick a number, it gets there and the cycle's topping January 30th, let's just say. Okay, target's there, cycle's there, it's like a football quarterback. Go back, 1, 2, 3, 4, throw to the spot where the end's supposed to be, and we'll tell everybody get out, and then it will, should turn down again, which is why we're not saying take a long-term position now. Then we think after that down move, and it hits a target which we think is going to go then, that might be the place to go longer-term long for gold and silver. So there's really three trades. There's an up trade, there's a down trade, and then there's an up trade again. Depending on the sophistication and the risk tolerance of every investor, they play it differently. And all we can do is kind of show what we see, and then every investor takes it accordingly.
Now you've really piqued my interest. You start to talk about quantum mechanics. Really like to know what type of formulae. I mean, are we talking about Brownian motion?
That's one. It's funny you should ask that. You obviously know. I went to a place called the Bronx High School of Science. Charles Netter is a medical doctor, but a pretty significant scientist as well. Our target algorithm is very complicated. It's like 40,000 lines of code. It utilizes a lot of different things that are not typical. And again, what you were saying before, that the world is fundamental and technical, we agree with you, except we think our technicals are fundamental. I know that may sound like a word use, but the reality is if something's repeating, if you're making an assumption in any data series, for cycles anyway, that if IBM topped every 5 weeks, 20 weeks, 37 weeks, 53 weeks. So you have sine curves. And all those sine curves coincide next week, and it turns out to be a top. Is that technical or is that fundamental? We think it's fundamental, that is what's guiding the world. So therefore, we're able to predict stuff based on that, that the news and other A implies B logic doesn't go. As far as target, quantum physics, if I could summarize it in a sentence, which is kind of hard to do, doesn't mean A implies B. Quantum physics means B has to happen, therefore A is going to show up to make it happen. So it really is not cause and effect. Effect comes first and the cause shows up after, which is a very interesting idea, that two-minute conversation we can't have now. I've studied this, Charles studied, so that's inherent in our system. Very hard to explain, obviously, but that's how else do you pick targets? How do you say that IBM, how do you pick Apple top at 702 down below 500, which we called? He himself doesn't know. How did he get out of RIM at the top? How did he get out at gold at the top? It's really based on these very complicated mathematical formulas that are based on mathematical assumptions that are prevalent in all of society. For instance, the Elliott wave, which we've all heard about and somewhat know. He happens to be a real expert in it. Elliott wave is the most Fibonacci is the basis of the Elliott wave, the most prevalent pattern in nature. If you Google Fibonacci, he was a mathematician in the 1400s. He found a pattern, every number is the sum of the previous two, by far the most prevalent pattern in nature. It would make sense that it's in the markets, because the markets reflect humans, and humans reflect all that. But how do you combine it all? And look, you know, Charles sits with six screens. We have a few other people do it. I can't do that stuff. You know, that's not my strength, but I know people who do it in our company, and they're right most of the time. They're not right all the time. Nobody is. But it's based on math that recurs, so we think it's fundamental, even though people call us technical.
Raise even more questions that I have for you. I mean, for instance, I just have a passion for numbers, and I was working on something you may have heard of called the Beal conjecture. It's similar to Fermat's last theorem. I think the last check there was a $1 million prize, by the way, for our listeners who are mathematically inclined. Interestingly enough, the fellow who's offering the prize, his name is Mr. Beal, a billionaire offering $1 million to whoever cracks the Beal theorem. But the reason I mention it is that some of the cosine and sine while working on that problem seem to me, you know, this might just be applicable to the markets.
My guess, and I don't know how many listeners you have. I don't know whether we're going over their heads right now. You know what I'm thinking?
You pretty know, sharp I, folks and listening in this crowd here.
Yeah, okay. You have a bunch of sharp folks, I assume. if you're the questioner, they're used to you, that you're not going in for little questions, which I love. But most people don't want to go there. But I'm a math person also. As a matter of fact, if people listening, they go to my music site, davidgurwitz.com. I'm a concert pianist composer, and I became that based on math. Because the professor in college, when I was in college at Brandeis University in 1974, drew a Fibonacci sequence under a picture of a keyboard and showed a C to C keyboard as 13 keys, 8 white, 5 black, group of 3, group of 2. That's Fibonacci. And I was a basketball player. I ran down to the music building. I had it in my hand. So I became a musician because of the music math connection. So that's why I love this. I mean, we could talk about this for 5 hours, you know. And I've studied quantum physics, and I'm familiar with the Beale issue. I was reading about it, actually. I don't have that. I'm not that smart that I could crack it. I have to tell you that much. But I deal with some very smart people that I love to learn from. And so those who are mathematical, which are not most of the world, can appreciate where we're coming from in the research that it is based on math and can't dismiss so quickly that it's not based on the news. We kind of predict the news, and it's based on numbers from the past. You're talking, for instance, wheat. We have prices going back 800 years. So we have cycles, in effect, going back from data 800 years ago, whereas Facebook, I can't predict because we only have data trading 18 months. How long is Facebook public? A year. So we need more math to come up with patterns, and the longer back we go, interest rates, we go, believe it or not, we go back 1,000 years with interest rates.
The unsung hero, and this is someone I would direct you, if you're ever curious, and the listeners as well, Euler, and in my opinion, really was the greatest mathematician who ever lived by a factor of at least tenfold. And I don't want to digress too much. The unsung hero that not even many mathematicians revere today, his Euler constant I'm using all the time in my humble scribblings here, trying to crack the markets as well. The oil, you know, 2.71 is of incredible use. So I just want to throw that out there because I know there's going to be some sharp, you know, math majors listening to this, and it might inspire them to do their thesis on Euler.
But, you know, he was the son of a pastor, you know, amongst other things, and he was by far one of the geniuses in the history of math. By far. I mean, he was off the charts. I mean, I actually studied him also. You know, he did all this stuff with optics and mechanics and astronomy. And no, I remember he did calculus, I remember geometry, trig, algebra, number theory. We could have that conversation. Just so you know, Euler, this I remember, is the only mathematician. Imagine having a star named after you. He had two numbers named after him. There's a calculus number known as E, right, which you know. Of course, all your listeners are fascinated by that. That's like 2.7.
Well, think about it. It's the backbone of the Black-Scholes model, just for a starter. It's the backbone of the binomial options model. It's the backbone of discounting formulas. You have that E constant, 2.7. And the reason why it's so amazing and so profound is it is the exponential base.
I hope your listeners appreciate you, but there was the Euler constant from the Euler number for calculus.
You're right. You're right.
And that was a number that was like 0.57 something. So this is I went to a place called the Bronx High School of Science.
They did a big math survey to all the mathematicians of the country. They said, what is the most eloquent, beautiful, non-esoteric formula in all of mathematics? And universally agreed that it was Euler's formula. But he takes E, and you remember, and then he takes it like pi minus, I want to say, the square root of -1. So there you have that, not irrational, but imaginary number. He included every single major area from exponents, multiplication, division, 1, and 0. Why don't you tell us a bit more about any contact information you might have for the listeners and any other projects you're working on?
Well, the main thing, projects, personally, you know, the music, davidgurwitz.com, they should go to. I play a lot of benefit concerts for nonprofit organizations like Special Olympics and a homeless group up in Toronto and all sorts of places. That's my joy. And then as far as the research, which on gold and silver and everything, they should write to charlesnenner.com, Google Charles Nenner, and write in, say they heard us speaking, and they'll get a free month of the research. And someone will be in touch with them afterwards about the different subscription options.
Very good. Well, listen, it's a pleasure speaking with you, and we hope to have you on future episodes of GoldSeek.com Radio.
Likewise, and my best to you, and I really enjoyed it.